It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Sometimes riders feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our riding into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable riders to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a rider's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is the Jen and Rick Show. We're a few minutes later than usual because, as usual, Skype and computers and technology in general hate us. Skynet lives. That's all I'm going to say. And I am joined by the other half of the crew, Miss Jen Homestead. And so anyway, I'll just kind of let you take it away for a second while I go hunt down a cough drop, because otherwise people are not going to want to hear me tonight.
Okay, well, yeah, Rick's right. We actually are fighting all the techno demons today. I don't know. I love it when my computer starts, like, does an update overnight. And, you know, I knew it was going to happen and everything, but I didn't restart. I didn't have to use it today. I was dealing with a sick kid, and so then I have to restart it. And I restart it, and all of a sudden, it can't find my networks, and there's no connection, and now I can't be on the internet. So I'm basically coming to you from an app on my phone tonight and not my normal setup, which isn't the end of the world, but at least I get to actually do the show instead of having to cancel. So I don't know. I think one of these days we're going to have to figure something out, because we seem to keep getting in trouble with, and Skype didn't update too, so it wanted to also do a restart of my computer, even though my computer had just restarted. So it gets a little bit frustrating at times when you don't have an hour to work with before you're supposed to be on air. And then Rick's got a cough, and my kid's got a cough, and, you know, I feel like I'm just ready for this week to be over. It's been just a little bit crazy. And of course, the JFK files dropped tonight, and I see some people being a little bit disappointed that Ted Cruz's dad wasn't named on them anywhere. Which is, I guess I didn't realize some people took that seriously. Rafael Cruz is not mentioned, and I'm seeing a lot of crap on Twitter from even people, like, people that I follow are retweeting this stuff about how, you know, what is the cover up, and like who got to Trump to get him to not put that out there or to redact it. I guess I am just really confused that people really thought that him throwing that out there during the primaries and kind of being ridiculous with that whole thing meant that it was really actually had some merit that Rafael Cruz was possibly involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, President of the United States. That really kind of boggles my mind that there are enough people that are taking that seriously to where they are actually trying to create some sort of conspiracy over the release of these files by the U.S. National Archives and make that a big thing. So I'm not really sure what to say to them. And I think I'm going to be pressing the unfollow button quite a bit because, yeah, I'm not really able to take anyone seriously that thinks that that was, you know, that that's a legit thing to be upset about and to now be calling some sort of conspiracy on also and to be screaming at the Trump administration or the federal government over. And by the way, this isn't leftists. This isn't leftists that are saying this from what I'm seeing. It's not leftists going, wait, what happened to, you know, some of this info being released and some of it being about the Cruz connection, the Rafael Cruz connection. And where do we know where he is right now? Is he in the country or did he leave the country? That would be a good indicator of, you know, if there's something shady going on or not. And it's not leftists doing that. It's people that are supposed to be conservative and that are on the right that are supporters of Trump. And now they're kind of mad that there's not some sort of expose and that we're not getting some bombshell dropped on this situation. So that's
Wait, you're saying you're not sure what to say to them? I have a one-two punch for you. It's crazy. You can start with this one.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
And then when they hit you again?
My God, are you still talking?
I'm just saying.
That is good. No, that would be perfect. In fact, I wish I could just have sound clips like that that I just plugged into tweets.
You can.
So maybe that'll be their next thing after, I mean, after GIFs, without having to click on a link and it being a video and all that kind of yada, yada, yada.
Well, we should do they have like a suggestion button for that? Because, yeah, GIFs are already like the soundboard for Twitter, so I'm like extremely addicted to GIFs. If we could actually get to the point where it would treat like a short YouTube video like it does GIFs, I would like seriously bust out the happy dance.
Right. Like it doesn't it could be limited to like 3 seconds or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could be very, very short, but it would be awesome.
Because that first one I play is 4 seconds long, so it's got to be at least 4 seconds. But other than that.
Okay. Five seconds. That's a good, that's a good number there.
Yeah. It's good enough for a nickel. Good enough for me.
So. Yeah, was just on the top of my mind because I, you know, that all just kind of dropped in the last couple hours and I started seeing the crazy go down on Twitter and I'm going, wait, at first I thought people were just being silly and it was like funny, like, because there were people that were doing that, like, oh, can't wait to see how rough, and people were tagging Ted Cruz and, you know, whatever, and all leading up to this. But to see so many, posts that were actually serious, so many tweets that were actually serious about like, well, what's going on here? You know, we didn't learn anything about this. And why is his name not mentioned? I thought we were going to actually learn something from this and get new details that had been classified. Like, what, bro? Seriously? You really thought that Rafael Cruz was involved and he'd be named in this file dump?
Yeah. The worst thing is I remember when the story first broke, like last week sometime, that Trump wasn't going to hold off on the release. I was like, watch, people are going to start to talk about the fact that this is so they can find out whether Rafael Cruz was really, in fact, the gunman on the grassy knoll. And everyone laughed at me, and now here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. I feel like I'm looking at things that, like, people have lost their ever-loving minds. I mean, people are saying, I'm looking at the hashtag right now. There are people that are actually, like, demanding to know where his location is. And, you know, did he flee the country before this was dropped because he thought he would name, but then Trump would be named, but then Trump protected him because Ted Cruz made some sort of deal with him. Like, what?
Now, bear in mind, this all came out from, like, the dude that runs the National Enquirer. This is where our news has fallen to. I remember Men in Black, the last scene where they're like stopping at the little rag hut, and all of a sudden they're grabbing like Star Magazine and National Enquirer because that's where they get all their updates about the aliens. This is the world we live in now.
Right. I'm kind of beside myself about it. I don't know what I just really didn't think there were that many people that were. That had bought into it like that. I thought it was mostly just a bunch of jokes and that obviously there'd be a few crazies, but it seems like far more than a few here.
Well, that's part of the problem with social media, is because what would be a few crazies everywhere else is amplified and magnified. Now, I want you to think about something. If Twitter is this bad, imagine what Gab looks like tonight.
Oh, I don't even want to think about that. Ugh.
So for those of you
living... Sorry for people on Gab. Sorry, but ugh.
Well, for those of you living under a rock, Gab has kind of like been turned into the alt-right version of Twitter. And I guarantee you, if they're talking about it this much on regular Twitter, Gab is a flutter with, oh my God, I thought we were going to finally see the truth about Ted Cruz's daddy and blah. I'm just like, and the worst thing is I'm sitting here and the day it broke, I'm thinking, and I actually put it in a couple of the groups that we were in. Like, I guarantee you, and I said it as a joke at first. I said, is this so Trump can prove that Raphael was the gunman on the grassy knoll? And then I said, you know what? That's not funny, because there are going to be people that are going to come back and say that. And that's exactly what watching happen right
and
now.
And sure enough,
I have to admit, the thing that has me a little annoyed about the JFK files is... You know, and this was kind of a thing that was going on over the weekend, and everybody was like, oh, Trump's trying to take credit for something because this was going to happen anyway. Well, the truth about it is he could have stopped it. So he did have the ability to say, you know what, I'm going to let this happen. But what I want to know is why what was released was so limited. This stuff is over 50 some odd years old at this point. Whatever's in there, we need to know, because I still think... There's more that went on with the JFK assassination than we have ever been told. And no, I don't think that Rafael Cruz was the gunman on the grassy knoll, but I do think there was something else going on. That's just...
I kind of struggle with all of this because it's so easy to get really conspiracy theory with it. And I'm not like... totally sold on a bunch of that kind of thing. However, you know, I think it's very valid to ask some questions, considering that we just do have such, you know, limited information about how this went down, you know, and that is going to be the case when you have an assassin that is assassinated himself. I mean, it's always going to lead to more questions, and it's going to leave people dissatisfied with the answers that we do have. So I think some of that's just natural, but I do feel like maybe they know more.
Well, I mean, the thing about some of that is we also live in the Law and Order generation, where people are used to watching a 53-minute show, 43 minutes, not counting commercials, and everything's wrapped up in a nice, neat bow before the end of it. So, I mean, that's impacting a lot of things that go on with our investigations and things now. And I think that's honestly why some of these other things that are just now finally starting to really be talked about, which are some of these things are things that we've known about for years. And we told everybody years ago when Obama was still in office that they were doing crazy things with the Russians and they really shouldn't be trying to sell off uranium. And, you're just crazy. You're just this conservative right-wing nut job who thinks this president's out to destroy the country. Well, no, I might be a conservative right-wing nut job, but it doesn't change the fact that the president was kind of sort of out to destroy the country. And so now it's all coming to light. And, of course, now everybody's like, well, it still doesn't change what Trump did. Well, you know what? If it comes out that Trump was involved with the Russians somehow and he did something that was untoward, I want to know that, too. But right now, everything that's coming out is pointing the other direction. And nobody's talking about it because it's, well, Trump obstructed justice when he fired Comey. Well, if that's true, why didn't Clinton obstruct justice when he fired his FBI director a couple of weeks before they found a dead body? Just asking.
Well, but I mean, it is true about the obstruction thing. I mean, everybody lost their mind on it. When it comes down to it, it really is the prerogative of the commander in chief on that position. So, while I do understand why people would think it seems somewhat suspect, it is not exactly. I just thought that it was. Much more was made of it than needed to be.
Well, no, and me too. But that's like tonight when I would, because I had to rush home and I did an interview for one of the clients, and then that show will be here on Monday. And then so I'm sitting down while I'm eating dinner, and while we're getting ready for dinner, I turned on Tucker Carlson. And there was a Democratic congressman, I think, on there with him, and he just kept. It's the guy that's been putting up the articles of impeachment for Trump. Has like a page and a half article of impeachment citing three separate cases where he basically, as far as that person is concerned, that Trump obstructed justice. And it all starts focusing around the fact that he fired Comey in the middle of an investigation. Look, I understand that, I mean, that didn't sit well with me, I'm not going to lie, but I don't think it can be considered obstruction of justice because, any of you ever watched Blue Bloods? You know, how many times did Frank Reagan get called into the mayor's office and the mayor wanted his head on a pike and Frank's like, I serve at your pleasure, sir. If you want me to leave, just tell me and I'll go. That's the same kind of thing. The person who was the head of the FBI serves at the pleasure of the president. So if the president's ticked off about the work you're doing, you can be fired at any time and there's not really anything anybody can do about it. But to find out after you've been fired that you were one of the people that was hand-delivering this unverified dossier to go get FISA warrants on an unverified dossier, there are so many things that we should be talking about right now that we're not. And it's not the fact that Russia bought $100,000 worth of Facebook ads and $100,000 worth of Twitter ads. Donald Trump spent $150,000 on social media ads a day. Russia spent that in a year. What I want to know is where the Russia stuff stops, because right now all of it is pointing back to the Clintons. Everything they try to chase down goes back to the Clintons. And I keep having this same guy on Twitter over and over and over again that keeps telling me that if this was a Democratic president, I would be all over him and I'm just upset because blah, blah, blah. And I keep asking the same question, but the funny thing is nobody can answer me. Give me a starting point where I can start unraveling the story and I will chase it and I will find out if there's anything that's valid about this Russia thing for Trump, because I've been looking into it and everywhere I look, I'm finding the same thing everybody else is. When it comes right down to it, the Democrats are in this up to their eyeballs. They have been for a long time. This isn't something that just happened. This has been going on in one iteration or another for years. The FBI was investigating the Obama administration while he was still in office because of the stuff with the uranium deal. This isn't something that just happened. This has been going on for a long time, but nobody was talking about it. The worst thing is, if Hillary Clinton had become president, happy birthday, not Madam President, I'm glad it wasn't you, but if she had been elected president, we probably wouldn't know any of this right now, which is why they went balls to the wall to get Trump, excuse my language, because they knew, they thought that they could beat him, and they knew that if they had control of the country, they would be able to cover up every crazy thing they've been doing for the last 8 years. Sorry.
I mean, that language speaks to me, so I don't mind it. But no, I think you're right. I understand. I guess to me, I don't really care as much about, you know, how much can we say, or following the dollar signs. I don't really care as much about who it specifically. I see a lot of people are like, well, I just got to wait until I see, you know, exactly which pockets this came from. If it came from, PAC, if it came from a specific person, okay, part of it was Hillary's campaign, but what funds used from Hillary's campaign, from what section of her campaign, blah, blah. I don't really care about all of that. The fact is that this was pushed, it was investigated and pushed by her campaign. And I am still, like you, waiting to see how this dossier is verified. Where are the hardcore, clear-cut facts about it? How is it absolutely, supported by anything? And we're just still getting the runaround on all of that while being screamed at that, absolutely, like, we know that it's true. We know that this is bull and this has been corroborated. How has it been corroborated? Because you're just giving me a bunch of unnamed sources. So, I mean, if that's all it takes for corroboration these days, well, then let's get to work because we can really sideline some stuff.
I know, right? I've actually kind of been thinking the same thing. All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a really quick break because, unfortunately, since we got a late start, we still got to try to stay on the show clock. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned. Stupid computers. Although I guess I really should yell at the computer because I'm done using it. We'll be right back.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your healthcare, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your healthcare while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere,
even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here's a pill. Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Okay.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is Jen and Rick. We're halfway through the show already, which is probably good for me because I'm not sure how much longer my voice is going to hold out. The good news is it's Thursday night for America Off the Rails, so I have a co-host on Thursday nights now as well. So make sure you tune in for that. Afterwards, we have @SocialClaude, who actually will be talking about depression, and I'll just let him do the full introduction later because I don't have the thing in front of me right now. But it's actually, he's come up with a really interesting topic, so he's going to actually take lead for most of the show tonight because we're trying to get him used to the idea that here in the next couple of weeks he's going to have to do all the talking on another show while I'm sitting back and pushing buttons. So I'll be taking a back seat tonight. He'll be doing most of the talking. We'll still do the back and forth, but it's mostly him because this is something that he feels like he needs to share. So make sure you tune in for that afterwards. Now, back to the craziness that is our current situation in America. Yeah. And if I seem a little more distracted than usual, that's because the craziness has actually hit my state too. And I know you guys don't really like when I talk local politics on what is basically a show that can be heard nationwide. But that's been my focus for the last few days, and it's been driving me crazy because the whole state's gone nuts. I may actually put together an article about it and see if I can get it shopped out to a couple of local places here. So if they want it, I will post it as soon as I figure out whether or not they're going to take it. But anyway, let's go back to the national stuff because nobody wants to hear about how crazy Oklahoma is because most of you already know. But anyway, so
I never mind it because I do think that like what goes on in some of our local politics, particularly state politics, things that are affecting the entire state, does factor in the grand scheme of things of national politics. I very recently I was looking at something about, we all knew about politics in Alabama with some recent races. I was looking at some stuff that was happening in Georgia, and then most recently the New York City mayor's race. Have you seen this about the guy who is running for mayor who once tried to hijack a plane?
Wait, in New York City, there's a dude running for mayor that tried to hijack a plane?
Yes.
No, I have not heard about this, but somehow, I'm not surprised.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
You know, New York City put up stress booths. I'm just saying.
Well. Also, by the way, he's the Libertarian candidate. He's representing the Libertarian Party. So I mean, this is still the New York. Like, as someone who has lived in New York City, let me tell you something about the mayor's race. About 1,800 people throw their hat in the ring, and only a few of them are even remotely legit. And then even of those few, only a few can even get any sort of money going to actually have a real campaign. So a lot of people end up running for mayor without the intent of truly needing to raise the money to actually become mayor, and they are not part of a major party to become mayor, but they do so to get their name out there a little bit and to raise awareness for various things. And they get conversations going, essentially. They get to go on local radio stations, local TV, and they want some conversations to happen about what they feel is important to the state of, you know, to the state of New York City, not state as in the entire state, but the affairs of New York City. And so he is one of those guys. He's not trying, maybe he is trying to actually be mayor, but he's in part of that crowd that typically is making the rounds, doing the interviews, raising any, you know, raising under 10 grand in order to run, very limited in advertising. And just wants to get a message out and wants to be able to be a part of the conversation. So that's who this guy is. He is actually he was diagnosed a paranoid schizophrenic. So when he was doing the hijacking, in all fairness, he was undiagnosed and off his rocker. But it's kind of weird. Like, his statements are kind of strange. I said, I'm all for second chances, especially when it comes to mental illness. But this is kind of weird. He claims that he recovered from his mental illness from severe schizophrenia without meds. He also attempted to hijack this plane, and he thought he was going to go to Antarctica or Argentina. Apparently, he kept getting them confused while he was making his demands to the pilot. And he wanted to be dropped into Antarctica to go, like, on this super secret mission to fight the Cabal, which was some super secret imaginary organization that was going to destroy the world. So he spent
up until
2015.
Don't you discount the Cabal? They're real, man. Okay, no, I can't. I tried.
Kind of funny because there's a little bit of a Misfits inside thing about Cabal. So that's kind of weird to me that it's like, that's what he said. I got to destroy Cabal. And I'm like, oh, please don't hurt me. I just have a blog. But our kind of like our management team for Misfits, we say Cabal. So anyways, it's just really bizarre. Apparently he was ruled insane. So he wasn't, he was charged with multiple things, but then he was never convicted because he was ruled insane, and he was put in a medical facility, and he'd been there from this happened in the early 2000s. He was deemed insane by the federal government and the state of New York to be insane in 2003, and he just got out of a medical facility in 2015. So what's the date again? Oh yeah, it's 2017, creeping up on 2018. He hasn't been out of that long. He was in under doctor's care for the better part of, you know, almost 15 years, and claims he was cured without meds, and that his injustice of being held hostage by the government, basically through this unfair imprisonment in a medical facility, is the injustice that he's fighting for, and why his eyes were open to the way the government can be and why he's, you know, a libertarian. I ended up going, because I am so curious whenever stuff like this comes up, I ended up going to his Twitter, which is not very active, but going to his Facebook and watching some videos. And, I have to say they weren't all that bad. There were some videos they did that I agreed with. There were some that seemed a little kooky. But his one right after the election was pretty great. Like, oh, I'm not happy that Donald Trump won. I'm just really glad that Hillary Clinton lost because blah, 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 blah. And he did a really nice little video about it all. But anyways, he is on the ballot running for mayor.
Nice. Where's JD when you need him? So, you know, well, to kind of, since we've started doing a little bit local anyway, what's been going on in my state is kind of interesting. So, as you know, the Democratic Party in Oklahoma is the minority party right now. The leader of the minority party just made a surprise announcement that he has stepped down as the leader of the minority party. He will continue in the state legislature until January, at which point in time they will have to hold a special election to replace him. He was also attempting to run for governor. His campaign has been suspended. The only information that we find is from his official statement where he said that politics and trying to run for governor has taken a toll on his family, and he felt the need to reprioritize and make sure that he could spend time where he felt he was most needed. The weirdest thing about this is in the middle of a budget crisis for my entire state. This was the guy that for most of this session has held up any chance to pass any revenue raising measures because he was stuck on gross production tax. He originally wanted us to raise it to 7%. He then, when the Republicans said there was no way they were going to be able to do that because how it used to work in my state, it's now a flat 2 for new wells up to, I believe, 7 years. It used to be a rebate, so they would get charged the full 7%, and then depending on their production and stuff, they could get up to 6% back. Well, at some point, that got changed, and now it's a flat 2%, so he wanted to go back to the original 7 with no rebate. The Republicans are like, yeah, no, we're not going to be able to get that done. So then he comes back with a hard 5. They have been trying for most of this session to get something passed to make sure that we didn't find ourselves where we are right now, and he kept holding firm. 5% or nothing. 5% or nothing. They actually, the head of the Republican caucus met with him yesterday and said, look, we're going to put this revenue-raising measure on the table. If you guys will vote for it so we can get it passed, we will then give a straight up-and-down vote as to whether or not we will do the gross production tax at 5%. He's like, well, why don't you just put it in there with it? He's like, no, because I'm going to allow my people to be able to vote their conscience, and if you think you've got the votes, you should be fine with this. So it turns into this big whipping things out on the floor match, if you know what I mean. The thing didn't pass, so now they're having to do everything they can do because my state, back in the 90s, got tired of feeling like the politicians were raising taxes on them just because they could raise taxes on them. So they actually made it almost impossible to raise taxes. They have to get 72 votes to raise taxes in the House. That's like 75% of the members that have to agree to raise revenue. So that's where we keep running into the issue, because there aren't enough Republicans to do it. There's a caucus of Republicans that have said they will never vote for a tax increase regardless. So they had to try to find a way to do a coalition. So then, after Inman steps down, the Senate puts out a press release today that says if the Republican caucus will add this in, they will agree to do a 4% gross production tax for 36 months. So everybody starts thinking, well, great, we've probably got a deal because we've got all this other stuff that we were going to do with it. If we can get them to vote for that, if we put this in there, then that's enough for us to do what we need to do. So then the Democratic caucus in the House comes out and they're like, well, we'll do 4% for 12 months, 4.5% for 12 months after that, and then we want 5% for the last 12 months out of the 36. So they're basically the House Democrats are right back where their leader was before he stepped down. So we have a complete and total breakdown of communication. The Daily Oklahoman actually put out the most scathing op-ed I've ever seen them put out about Democrats. That because in this package, if they had gotten it passed, it would have been enough to do a $3,000 per annum raise for teachers and a $1,000 per year raise for state workers. And they basically said no because, and even their leader at the time admitted that it was more important to stick it to the oil companies than it was to take care of teachers and state workers. That's what's going on in my state right now. That's crazy.
And you know what's funny is like you just said, like there's not enough Republicans to make this passy, but people think of some of this area, the quote unquote heartland of America, that everything it just completely goes the Republicans' way all the time. We get everything we want because, you know, we're just so backwater and everything is Republican controlled. And so Dems be darned, basically. And that is so far from the actual reality in most of these states. I'm not saying that there aren't states where that is somewhat true, but in places like Texas and Oklahoma, you and I both know for sure that's not the case. It's not just it's not an automatic win, no. Even if there, you know, is significant Republican support.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, you know, and that's what, you know, I've been talking with the guys on KOKC a lot back and forth on Twitter, and I'll call into their shows every once in a while, and I'm like, look, here's my thing with it. We have gone to special session, which cost the state $30,000 a day. We are already broke, and we're going to special session over a percentage point. As soon as the Republicans were ready to come to 4%, the Democrats should have grabbed that, ran with it, and then tried for the other percentage point in the regular session the next year. But they wouldn't do it because to them it was more important to stick it to the oil companies than it was to take care of teachers. What nobody wants, because everybody's mad because the Republicans are talking about raising 6 cents on the gas tax. Folks, in my state, the next closest state that has a gas tax anywhere near as low as ours just raised it by 16 cents on the gallon. So even if we were to put a 6 cents gas tax in place, we're still the lowest state in the country on a fuel tax. That tax also gets paid 40% by outside people traveling through the state. So that's a no-brainer to me. No, I don't want to raise taxes. Unlike this crazy guy who's wanting to hijack a plane, I am a true libertarian when it comes to taxes. In a perfect world, there would be no taxes as far as I'm concerned. But we are literally broke. We have a $250 million budget hole that has to be filled by November 1st, or we lose government matching funds for the funding that we've already certified, that some of which the Supreme Court in our state took away, because we don't have a choice. We have to have a balanced budget. When they couldn't come together, they started throwing everything they could at the wall and hoped that it would all stick. The Supreme Court overruled a cigarette tax that they were trying to pass because they tried to get smart and call it a cigarette fee, because, again, in my state, you can't raise a tax without 72 votes. So they tried to call it a fee and did it with 51 votes. It didn't fly. So now, if we don't find a way to fill up this hole that has now been brought on by the lack of the cigarette tax, then we aren't going to have mental health in my state at all. Oklahoma already has almost no mental health to speak of, but if they don't do something within, like, what, 5 days, we will have none. They're going to have to start closing rural hospitals because they're not going to have the funding. This is how crazy this has gotten. So for all of you that are thumping your chest right now and loving the fact that everybody in D.C. is trying to go out for blood every second of every single day, that is now coming to our states. If we don't find a way to start working together again soon, there won't be anything left to fight over, much less about.
This is why I think that this kind of stuff, and I know it might not be the most pertinent and entertaining type thing for our listeners, but I really do encourage everybody to kind of look into the politics of other states and things that are going on other than just what is being the major headlines, you know, that are popping up here and there on the various sites. I encourage you to look into this stuff because it might seem a little bit boring, but I think that all of the stuff that is going on in the various states can be lessons to the other states, can be things that we can all learn from or that we should take heed and we should try to anticipate because it's coming soon to a state near you, whatever it is. And then I think it helps provide us a way in which to look at our federal government, what we actually think their responsibilities are versus our state's responsibilities, and help, you know, help shape the way we vote and shape what we find important and what we then realize that our state should be more in tune with versus the federal government and vice versa. So the federal government is the only place where we're having this great divide. I mean, it's happening somewhat in the states too, and we're finding that there is a lot of division, not just along party lines, but within the parties as well. And I think that's only going to grow. So we've all got to pay attention to what's going on in our local politics as well as federal, and look beyond the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. Because as I've seen this start coming to pass in my own state, I've been watching, and that's what I've been talking about with folks. I'm like, look, you know, DC, it's now toxic to work together. Now it's happening here. And because of that, my entire state is in gridlock. We are seriously having to start discussing shutting down mental health services. We're talking about outpatient drug treatment clinics, rural hospitals. There are all kinds of things on the chopping block right now. Now, I don't think we will get to that because there is a Republican majority and they have some things that they can do to raise some revenue to fill in the holes because they can do the things that only take 51 votes. We can't raise taxes in this state, but we can undo subsidies and undo, you know, some of the things that we've given out to try to attract business now that most of those have worked. The thing that's confusing about Oklahoma when you really start digging into it, you know, I think if you, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're in Texas, but I think you guys right now have, I think depending on where you look, it's anywhere between about 10 to 30 subsidies where you guys are basically giving out rebates or tax credits or something for new businesses, whatever the case may be. We literally still have hundreds of those right now. So that's what.
Yeah, we're very limited. We're very limited.
So that's what they're doing right now is they're going through and finding where they can cut some of those rebates that were basically giving people money back because they have to fill in a hole. Even with everything they're trying to do right now, we needed $210 million. So far, they found $156.5 million.
By the way, also, this is kind of a lesson in that even though technically we think about conservative principles and even to not necessarily on a national level, but in general, the Republican viewpoint and principles are more limited government and less spending. But this is kind of a lesson. And Oklahoma isn't the only Republican state that has fallen into this situation where just because these Republicans have said that they are less and that they want less and that they want more limited government, they have actually backed and supported all kinds of expansion to the point of where you do have, you know, hundreds of subsidies. And you know, Texas is not immune either. There are other fields in which we have overstepped and taken things too far and the government's too big and it's grown too much. But I'm just saying, like, this, what you're talking about right now is like a prime example of how even with mostly Republican control, the government can still grow, it can still bloat, there can still be pork, and this can still happen. So we have to be active and we have to engage on the local levels to make sure that they know that we don't think that's okay, and that if it is already done, then that we've got to figure out ways to trim the fat. Because if you truly want to go by the limited government principles and help the citizens of your state and eventually in the broader terms of the country, then, you know, that has to be something that's addressed no matter which party is in charge.
True enough. And, you know, that's part of what we've been trying to deal with here is, you know, because, you know, Republicans we're usually fiscally conservative. The last thing we want to do is raise taxes, but we're faced with a scenario because, again, you know, I'm libertarian. If, as far as I'm concerned, there would be no taxes, but I'm also not really an anarchist. There are certain things the government needs to fund. Mental health and public safety, as far as I'm concerned, is one of those things that the government should.
Well, wait, you just said, though, you know, what did you just say right before that about what it was about the funding?
Huh?
Or about the spending? Oh, taxes. You were saying that you were like, no, I do not support raising taxes. Well, but that's the thing is that not everything has to do necessarily with like government spending doesn't all have to do with raising taxes. And so that's where I think some of these Republican governments come from various states come under the guise of being fiscally conservative. Well, yeah, we haven't raised taxes because we didn't do this or that. But, oh, by the way, we also have gone into more debt because we've allocated this, this, and the other. We've expanded this program. We've expanded this thing. We've given more of this. We've taken more money from the federal government. And so in other ways, even though they might appear in a shallow way, somewhat fiscally conservative, when you look at all of the overall, you know, check marks or checkpoints, that they're not actually behaving that way, except for that they're not raising taxes or they're not, you know, funding certain things. You know what I mean? It can kind of be an illusion a little bit.
Yeah, I can see your point there. All right, well, believe it or not, we are just about out of time. So why don't you remind folks where it is that you can be found when you're not on the air listening to me prattle on about how much Oklahoma's gone crazy.
You can find me on Twitter always at Jay Homestead. You can follow me on Facebook, JR Homestead. I'm really bad with that one. And I'm hoping to get back on it soon because I've kind of got a new setup going where I'll be more cross-posting and interactive there. But and then also follow the group that I founded and am ecstatic to be a part of. So many wonderful writers and thinkers, misfitspolitics.com. We do our Misfit Mischief where we leave politics behind and make Twitter fun again every Friday night. So tomorrow, join us at 8:30 Eastern for that interview. You think you might want to dive into writing? You can always email us at misfitspolitics@gmail.com.
You know, that should be you guys' like go-to hashtag, making Twitter fun again. Anyway, so one last thing, and then we got to get out of here because I got to get set up for the show that comes on right behind this one, which is yours truly on Thursday nights. I have a co-host, but I want to make it official. We've kind of talked about it, but it looks like we've decided next week to borrow a phrase from Maxine Waters. We are reclaiming our time. We've been setting aside Tuesday nights in the hopes that Janie and Stacey were going to come back and bring on Game On, and I'm sure they still, as far as I know, are planning on coming back. But in between health issues, work issues, and a million other things that are going on, we miss doing Tuesday nights too. So until we can figure out what their plan is, we're coming back, baby. Tuesday, Thursday nights again, beginning next week at 10 p.m. Eastern. So yeah, you'll get to put up with me for yet another night. I know some of you right now are like, oh my God, not this guy.
Yay!
But the good news
I'm
is
so
with this one, you get Jen, so that should be worth it. All right, so we're out for the night, folks. We will be back next Tuesday for the new, again, revamped Tuesday-Thursday Jen and Rick show. And I'll be back here in just about a minute or so with my co-host for the night, at Social Claude, who actually has an announcement of his own about a new show that he's working on. So we'll lead off with that. We'll be back. See you in just a minute.